Blog Talk Radio.
And now to honor America, especially the brave men and women serving our nation in the Persian Gulf and throughout the world, please join in the singing of our national anthem. The anthem will be sung by Grammy Award winner Whitney Houston.
Getting stoned to Setting the Tone Radio.
Look, I get it in, I'm a home man. All the ladies say flying, they don't really want to leave them alone. I never follow the crowd, I'm setting my own trends. Baby girl, I be setting the tone. I'm a trendsetter.
All right, here we go. We are back. WSTT is in the house, Setting the Tone Radio, and we are happy to be back this week. You know, last week we talked about Sandra Bland, and this week we're paying homage to the great late Whitney Houston. And of course, we had a set of unfortunate events take place where Whitney's daughter, unfortunately, was laid to rest this weekend. But before we get started, we want to go ahead and I'm going to introduce our host, and you have myself, the dictator, Tone, and along with me, we have Storm in the house. Storm, how you doing?
Greetings and salutations, dictator, Big Izzy, and everyone in Radio Lab.
All right, and also we have Big Izzy on, and of course, Big Izzy is wondering what's going on in the world, so I'm going to let him take over from here. Big Izzy, you on?
Yeah, I'm here with you, man. What's up, Radio Man? How y'all feeling, man? We are back, same black channel, same black time. To go ahead and talk about some things that's going on in the world. So this is going to be part one of our legacy series. All right, and we're going to go ahead and talk about the Houstons. And, yeah, I think that intro was very, very powerful. Yeah. It's funny, when I go ahead and I'm making an observation about that, she sung that live. That wasn't a pre-recorded, like, you know, like, I remember, like, Usher and, like, some of the others, they'll go ahead and they'll pre-record in the studio, and then they'll go out there and try to make it sound right. But, no, she did her stuff live, and it's that raw talent that she had was just, it was unbridled, man. And it was, I think it was just a saying to go ahead and see her life get cut, you know, and end so short. But, you know, like I said, you know, she had her issues. She had her angels and demons. But, you know, God rest her soul anyway.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it's, I mean, you know what? The Super Bowl for me changed forever. Like, she sung that, and I never even was proud to be an American at that point. You know, I was in school, and I was still angry about slavery and stuff after learning that. And I was like, man, screw America, man. This is not her sing that. I had a little teardrop in my eye, like, man, that was beautiful, man. I love being an American. It changed my whole perspective, man. Yeah. Whitney, that's just,
she was
like,
young,
you know,
when she sung that, wasn't she? She was pretty young, what, 19, when she sung that?
Yeah. Well, you know, that was in, what, 93 or something? I mean, that was just, I could listen to that over and over again, actually.
Yeah.
Because it's just mouth-dropping. I don't know what they called her, the voice. I don't know if there's anyone that could even compare today. You know, there's a lot of good people out there. Of course, I don't want to say she's the only one out there, but when she sung, it was just like everything stopped. Even on a radio, you just listen to the track and you just be like, well, damn. You know, you're like, well, all righty then. She tore that up, you know.
Sucked the whole stadium.
Stadium
wouldn't be that quiet. The stadium wouldn't be that quiet again until Janet Jackson breast fell out.
Ooh, blah, blah, blah.
Well, she actually was, what, she was going to get a world record, wasn't she?
On TV in front of everybody.
Oh, yeah, you know, they got Janet real good for that.
Oh, the tape came
off. Yeah, he set her up.
That tape didn't come off. He peeled that thing off.
Yeah, he set her up on okie doke on that one.
Now, there's been a lot of drama with, you know, the Houstons and the Browns, but we'll talk about that in a second. Before we even get into Whitney, because she's an awesome person, we can talk about this for hours. But I do want to kind of slip in there how Twitter just blew up, didn't it? Twitter blew up over, what was it, Drake and Meek Mill? The rappers, and it's like, okay, I've never seen a rap battle actually
over the past 72 hours, over the past week. So I guess,
listen,
from what I was taking a look at, they were saying, like, you know, Meek was just feeling some kind of way about not, I guess, getting like the reciprocated love from you know, Drake and the OVO camp. So what had happened is, now this is the part that I also can't figure out. Who he was trying to go ahead and, like, you know, I guess really, really put on for, as they might say, because he started out and was just like, yo, I can't believe it. These cats is haters, but I'm going to show y'all today I don't got no chill button. The next thing you know, damn, you know, he starts coming at Drake, and he just, like, a whole bunch of just off-the-wall tweets. He starts going, like, nuts. You guys are corny.
Well,
you even write your own raps.
Yeah.
I got a reference track, and then I was just like, uh-oh, this is going to be a good one. But see, here's the thing.
Well, I don't really understand. Okay, so he's accusing Drake of ghostwriting, which in the rap world is a no-no. Like, R&B and pop, they get writers all the time.
Of getting his songs ghostwritten. Which is, I mean, for we know that it happens with singers, right?
Right.
We can understand somebody writing you a hook, a chorus, or something, sing it this way. Like, I understand that with singers, but with rappers, it's a little bit of a different realm.
So, you know, for us, rap civilians, break down ghostwriting and why I would be mad.
All right. So it's kind of like along the lines of what Mike Epps said when they accused him. You know, they accused Mike Epps of being a hater on Kevin Hart's success. But Mike Epps was like, look, he was like, you know, he was like, he said it kind of started back with like Richard Pryor. He was like, the genius that he was, he will go ahead and like work with other writers. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, like Paul Mooney and a lot of the other like greats of today were some of the folks who kind of like started that, where it's, all right, you'll be the face of it and you'll have a great deal of creative amount of input and control. But there might be a couple of jokes that might come strictly from me. The concepts might come strictly from me. The thought process, come strictly from me.
Gotcha.
But it's just like when you go ahead and you hear it, all you see is the person on TV who you expect to be funny and they have a big name, and they're saying a joke. So then Mike Epps was like, look, you know, even with Kevin Hart's team, he was like, you got to understand some of Kevin's biggest jokes came from no-name comedians from somewhere down in Texas. And he was like, y'all don't understand that Kev has 8 other writers, you know, with him who go along with his entourage, but these guys are professional comedians and they're out there stealing jokes.
Wow.
So if you're out there stealing jokes and you're the big name and the other guy, you know, some no-name actor or some no-name comedian from...
Okay, so put that in the realm of rap. But what does that have to do with rap, though?
The same concept.
Yeah.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. This guy, Quentin Miller, wrote your song, Riding Through the Six with My Woes, but then you came out there and said, Riding Through the Six with My Woes, word for word. Who really wrote the song? That's when it gets...
So who won the... Who won the rap war then?
Well,
Meek Mills or Drake?
I don't know.
They're not finished fighting.
I think Meek has more
Point.
They're killing
it's true.
Instagram and Facebook with the memes. They're killing them. Because Drake had a couple of bars, but when I listen to both of them, I'm riding with Meek on this one. Like, dude, you don't even write your own raps. Like, come on, get out of here, man.
Yeah, but does
who doesn't write their own? Drake
has no proof.
Huh?
He's saying Drake doesn't.
So who doesn't write their own?
When you listen to Meek Mill's joint, he played the reference track. And when you look on,
what does that mean?
Drake's, the reference track is the track, like, so they'll just go ahead and the person who wrote the song will just get it out. They may not have the professional recording studio or the engineer to really make it happen.
Gotcha.
Then the person who has those resources will hear it and say, okay, I can put this, have this person record it and clean it up. So when you listen to Meek's joint, he plays the reference track in his joint. And when I heard that, and then you look at Drake's credit for that song, he credits Quentin Miller for, you know what I'm saying, doing that song. So I was just looking at it, and I was like, no, Drake, say it ain't so. You can't do that when you're a rapper, baby. Like, nah.
Yeah, I guess I don't understand. Let's look at Whitney Houston, right? She sings the Star Spangled Banner, or she sings I'm Every Woman, or she's an awesome singer. It doesn't matter who wrote it. You give him tribute, you know, you pay respect, or, you know, you pay him or whatever. But Whitney still performed it. Drake still performed it. The writer can't necessarily perform.
It's a difference between singers and rappers, because singers, you understand that they may not necessarily have that creative juice, but they do have the vocal talent to go ahead and do it.
Rappers, but they do have creative juice, though. No, I think it's the same. I think it's petty.
And that's the reason why you wanted these new niggas. Rappers know that you don't rap nobody else's shit, man. It never happens like that. Biggie, what if Biggie would have went out and said, yo, Puff wrote this for me? That doesn't happen. Biggie wrote his own shit. Pac wrote his own shit. Scarface wrote his own shit. On the top 10 rappers right now.
You're pretty passionate about this.
When you pull for
Biggie, you are 3 times.
Those are your own experiences.
He went hot on us.
It's different, man.
Oh, listen, God, that's funny.
That's
funny
for that.
So, Izzy, are you Team Meek Mills or Team Drake?
Listen, I like them both. I think they're both young guys. I think the beef, I guess how it started from Meek's point, I think it's kind of petty to begin with, because I don't think he necessarily even had to go there. You know what I'm saying? But I think he does have a point. But Drake, you know, Drake, I listen to his stuff too. You know what I'm saying? And I think he's a bigger name. But just because he's a bigger name doesn't mean that he wins the battle. Like, when you're listening to what they're talking about, you know, yeah. Meek is killing right. this dude, man. But I, like I said, Drake had a couple of bars. He said, Meek, he said, you getting bodied by a singing nigga. Shout out to all my boss chicks that be wifing niggas. Make sure you hit him with the prenup. I was like, oh, damn. And the wow.
Well,
killing
well, I guess my thing, like I said, I think that rap in general, I think that they've lost. I like the fact that they're battling because that's where rap, you know, rap kind of the whole battle and the cipher thing is normal. But I think that the whole writing and ghostwriting thing, I think they're a little carried away. But to your credit, Izzy, to your credit, the song that you guys hear in the beginning, everyone, that's Izzy on there. He wrote that himself. From what I understand,
yeah,
there was no ghostwriter.
I thought that boy sounded familiar.
Come on, man. Come on, man.
That is him.
Never listen to rap. That's like the cardinal rule. You know what I'm saying? As a man, you
okay.
know, a man law is, you know, don't LOD. Rappers know you're writing mm-hmm. your own stuff, man. You don't. No, that's not for
wow.
him, but. I mean,
well, you know what? We need to take a break. We need to take a break real quick. We need to drop this Whitney because this is all about Whitney. We didn't give them enough airtime, but this is Whitney's moment. And, of course,
with
Bobby Christina, you know, with her funeral being Saturday, we're going to talk about that when we get back. And so, listeners, go ahead and give us a call, 646-200-0246. Hit us online, settingthetoneradio.com. We will be right back right after this.
All right.
Someone can hit play.
It's not-
You're getting stoned to Setting the Tone Radio.
Hey. All right. And we are back. Setting the Tone Radio. And if you haven't been listening, we've been talking about Drake and Meek. Well, we're moving on because, of course, this is a Whitney tribute. This is our first of our legacy series. And as you know, Whitney Elizabeth Houston passed away in 2012, and her daughter just passed away just a few days ago with a funeral just last Saturday. And we're just giving tribute. Nice. Yeah. Yeah. Just like that.
Right.
Beautiful, beautiful voice. Beautiful voice. Beautiful, and even her daughter.
Talent, beautiful person.
Yeah.
Very, very beautiful person. Everybody that, most of the people that know her, like very highly of her, about her. Since you're up here, she's saying the church too, but just to go ahead and make sure that we get all the facts about her, I'm going to turn it over to my co-host, Storm. She's going to go ahead and tell us a little bit about who Whitney Houston was. Storm?
Okay. From what I know, of course, she's a New Jersey girl, born in August 9th, to a very, very powerful musical family. Sissy Houston, we know, is her mother, and is definitely a strong presence, Sissy. And Whitney started way young, singing in talent shows. I don't know if some of you remember that talent show she was in with the blonde hair, and she had all the colors on and wasn't big as a minute to 12, but her voice was huge. I think she got started in the 17-year-old area, where she was really noticed and brought to the forefront by, another powerhouse, Mr. Clive Davis. And once she made her footprint, that was it. She just shot up like a rocket. Married, of course, we know Bobby Brown, who was a young, full of energy star, rock star, she called him. And went on to have Bobby Christina, who was her only child, who we know just passed on July 26th, rest in peace, at the age of 22. So their life was really that young, both of them, and it was powerful while they was here on Earth, because we will be talking about it forever, both of them.
And see, Whitney was it's like almost every singer's favorite singer. So it's your favorite singer. Whitney was powerful, you know. She actually made the Guinness Book of Records. Guinness World Records. Remember, it used to be called the Guinness Book of World Records. But the Guinness World Records, she actually was, she was in the 2009 one. They cited her for the most awarded female act of all time, you know, to date. And she opened up a lot of doors. Yeah, she opened up a lot of doors for black women on the radio, because prior to that, it wasn't a whole lot of black women on there. It was kind of like it was taboo for a woman to be singing R&B or to sing, and it was kind of crazy. I think she kind of opened up the door even for Janet Jackson, and of course, you know, other artists, Mariah Carey and the larger ones. I mean, there was Patti LaBelle and the ones before them, but aside from those few, she really kind of put black women on the map. I think it was actually when MTV, because MTV was not really airing black people, if you remember. They went ahead and aired her first video, and it did so well. That's what kind of opened up the door, and she kind of kicked down the door. It was, what was that video? How Will I Know? Yeah, I'm no singer. Let me not do that ever again. As a matter of fact, we're going to edit that out.
Don't edit it. I'll leave it on in there.
Leave it on in there? Okay. Well, like I said, in 2009, she was cited in the Guinness World Records. She has sold, 170 to 200 million records worldwide.
Wow.
Now, during her time...
200 million records, bro.
She amassed not even a small fortune, but hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right.
And that's when people saw, you know, when they seen, okay, now this thing is starting to go digital. You can get videos and get more, you know, broaden your fan base like that. That's when the whole game got changed.
Exactly.
She definitely changed it. She bust through the door, knocked it down. Mm-hmm.
Now, who remember her first acting role?
Oh, I don't know. Wasn't she in, like, The Bodyguard?
The Bodyguard. It was The Bodyguard. 1992. What was it, with Kevin Costner, was it?
Yeah.
She was pregnant with Bobby Christina then. She was pregnant with her on The Bodyguard. Mm-hmm.
Yep. She actually got, 94, she got the Grammy Award for Album of the Year. The lead single, of course, I Will Always Love You. It actually became the best-selling single. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where I came from.
Well, is that when she stood up and said, I love you, Bobby, you the king of pop?
Well, see, here's where you got to think. Where it blew up at is because not only did she count all of those spins that she got on the radio, but she counted those movie spins. All of those sales counted towards her, you know, all those tickets count towards her sales.
Right.
Absolutely. Yeah, she actually released six studio albums.
Now, you think any of the money is still, there after all of this, the craziness, the Bobby Christina being in the coma, I don't understand why they were fighting about who was going to pay for the funeral to the point where Tyler Perry had to step in and, like, come on, y'all, this is foolish, you know.
Well, you know what, that feud had been going on since her death because, if I recall correctly, she when she passed away in 2012, Bobby Christina became the sole, you know, she was the sole beneficiary of the estate.
Right.
But the way the trust was set up, she wasn't to get the estate. She was probably getting payments or something, but she wasn't to get to the full estate until she reached age 30. And, of course, Bobby, unfortunately, never made it to that point, Bobby Christina.
Yeah.
But it was a big deal when Bobby became, I suppose he became the, he was the custodial parent. And so the family was not happy about that. And so the families have been feuding ever since. So, you know, I guess they see it as, hey, he's not worthy, that kind of a thing. And, you know, the Houstons. And so the Browns, of course, you have Bobby Brown's sister who kind of crashed the funeral. I don't want to say crashed because she was paying her respects, I suppose, and somehow, some way, she started talking out loud and voicing her opinion, and people didn't like that. I guess it wasn't the proper platform. But the thing is, she was upset. She's like, you know, she said, well, she said Whitney would be rolling around in her grave. She would turn in her grave if she knew, you know, she was really caught wind of this. And it's unfortunate that this all comes down to it's all in the public eye. And I hate that happened. And it was nice of Tyler to do that, but he shouldn't have that stepped in the first place.
No,
of course, we don't know
all
the whole story. We're just getting the media version, but we're going to try to keep you updated on that. Of course, we're here in Atlanta, and that during that time, during the funeral, you know, Atlanta kind of, it was out in Alpharetta, and it was just tough. A lot going on. Pretty busy.
So out of pocket, man, and going to somebody's funeral talking about something that relates to money, like everything has a proper time and place, man, and listen.
And that was not it, you're right.
No, listen, man.
Yeah.
She is so lucky.
And especially when it's not your money. It's not their money. I mean, you fighting like you don't win and work hard for them dollars. You know what I mean? Fighting harder than you would fight for something you need to be fighting for. That's not your money. And to say that Bobby Brown is not to be the custodial parent, hell, he her daddy. What has he done to, everybody has their skeletons. Nobody as a parent we just didn't have a book. So for you to be sitting high and looking low, please, that's the wrong answer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Whitney Elizabeth Houston actually released 6 studio albums, 1 holiday album, and 3 movie soundtrack albums, all of which have diamond, multi-platinum, platinum, or gold certification, all of them. So,
how about that?
Yes. So I would imagine her life insurance policy covered all of the above, but they want a piece of that. They want to just be able to say, hey, you know, I want a piece of this money. I'm living lavishly or whatever like that. And, you know, I it's hard for me to believe that it's just about Bobby Christina or just about Whitney. Not with that
right.
kind of fighting. But,
I
mean, as things roll out. Hopefully, yeah, and I just hate to see that. I hate to see that. It's just, it's messy. It should have stayed under wraps. They should have just waited to afterward or what have you. But, you know, we're talking from what we see outside as an outsider. We kind of, we don't know what's going on. Just they're just like any other set of families. You know, I've seen this
right.
in regular families. So, you know, they're human. And
yeah.
I think that
yeah.
speaking of
yeah.
speaking of being human, that reminds me of Whitney and how people felt about her drug usage and her choice in men. Well, with Bobby Brown, you know, they, like, why are you marrying this guy? A lot of people feel that Bobby Brown brought her down, you know, and that's the reason why she started using drugs. I'm like, well, no, who's to say she didn't use drugs beforehand?
But it's not.
But people, yeah, yeah.
What's,
I mean, her, even when they had the interview, the mom and the brother, I don't think it was Ayala, it was an interview that they had, the brother said out of his mouth, because Sissy's sat there and cried because it was like the first time she had heard it, that he was the one that introduced her to drugs before Bobby Brown. So, again, people sitting in judgment, sitting high and looking low, like they call it closet don't have no skeletons. You know, and then if you say it long enough, then people will believe it because we have to believe something. You know, but that's
a good point. We have
cool.
to believe something.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, let me tell you something. Dealing with Bobby, I don't think was ultimately the best thing for her, because the reality is, man, he's the one constant in this story.
Yeah.
Look, Bobby was alive. Everybody else is dead. Bobby's still alive, shooting up somewhere. Like, nah, man, don't do it to yourself.
Well, maybe he's not. Maybe he cleaned up. You know, we all are human. We don't know Bobby's story. We don't know Bobby's story.
And I mean, he's remarried, has a baby now. But it's one thing, you know, they stayed together just about longer than a whole lot of marriages. I know that both of them go to church every time the door's open. So, you know, you don't know, your heart don't tell you who to fall in love with.
Right, and you know what, and it's unfortunate for Bobby. I actually feel for him because actually his wife is just admitted to the hospital. She had a seizure.
Oh, my
so
goodness.
To it. Yeah, yeah, this weekend.
Dang,
so,
and she just had the baby. Wow. All right, you know, Izzy, we don't want to have no fear, conspiracy theory to your story.
Man, listen.
Oh.
Whitney was found in a hotel room, supposedly on an overdose, face down in the tub. Then 3 years later, her daughter was found, you know, face down in the tub. Look, I don't know what's going on. I wasn't there, you know, like I said, but I just find that very, very peculiar and very, very odd. I think trying to calculate.
So you think he a black widow? You think he a black widow?
I think something's going on that deserves a little bit more scrutiny, because I don't think just those women with their issues and their drug use that had them found face down in the tub like that. And think about it, those umpteen of hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, that are at stake. I just think that, you know, people
you're doing it for the insurance policy.
People should be looking at things very, very, very carefully. Very, very
well, they're gonna be looking at Nick. They're gonna be looking at Nick Gordon in a minute, ain't they? That's
what
they already have. Yeah. And now that she's dead, now it would be considered murder. So, and then what, he's taking $10,000 out of her account. And first I thought Whitney had adopted him. But when they were on Dr. Phil, where did his mama come from out the woodworks?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to that,
well,
too.
Well, I believe he was always, she used to call him Big Brother. Bobby Christina used to call Nick, you know, Big Brother. And then when, of course, when she announced that she wanted to get married to him and, you know, they were engaged, of course, the families went up in arms about that, too. So I'm sure both families were very, they were very skeptical right then. And, of course, him finding her face down, her as in Bobby Christina, in the water, obviously they're looking at him. Now, the attorney, I remember Bobby's attorney saying, well, listen, they never got married, they as in Bobby and Nick. But it is, I believe it is actual an actual marriage. So if that's the case, that puts that means that he has motive. But on top of that, wouldn't he, well, because he has motive, the reason why I say he has motive is because if he's married to her, that means that he would inherit that money. No?
Right. But now on that same tone, would that also, if it turns out that, okay, you weren't a cause, would that also make him where he is entitled to, okay, I took this money out and maybe some of the inheritance. Would that make him, I wonder?
Oh, yeah, because if he's married to her, then he can't steal $10,000. He's married to her.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So would it mean, okay, leave me alone. I'm entitled to it. We were married.
Oh, wow. Big
it's
mess.
A lot
big
of
mess.
Hands
well, you know
what? It's a lot of hands in that cookie jar. A lot of people hand in that pot.
Well, turning to Bobby Christina, of course, we know that she was on the reality shows with Bobby Brown and, you know, her dad as well as her mom, Whitney.
Yeah.
And so she's best known for the reality shows, you know, being Bobby Brown. And I guess she was up and coming, but she was a singer, obviously. She comes from a family of nothing but entertainers. I know she did a cover. I remember she did a Adele cover. And actually, I have that so we can listen to it real quickly. She did Someone Likes You. And I'm going to go ahead and play that right now so we can just take a quick listen for Bobby Christina, from Bobby Christina.
I've heard that you're settled down, that you found a girl and you're married now. I heard that your dreams came true. Guess she gave you things I couldn't give to you. Old friend, why are you so shy? It ain't like you hold back or hide from a lie. I hate to turn up out of the blue uninvited, but I couldn't stay away, couldn't fight it. I'd hope that you'd see my face and that you'd be reminded that for me, it isn't over yet. Never mind, I'll find someone like you. I wish nothing but the best for you. Do, don't forget me, I bet I'll remember you said. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it lasts in love, sometimes it hurts instead. Sometimes it lasts in love, but sometimes it hurts instead.
Wow. You know you have it.
Wow, I am impressed. She has a beautiful voice.
Snuffed out too short.
Wow. She would have been, especially at that age with your India Irie, Chrisette Michelle, Jill Scott, that's where it sounds like more grassroots type.
Whoa,
what? What?
let's not get a little bit ahead of ourselves. You know.
No, I'm just saying that's where, I mean, she's still young, well, was still young, and had to groom it, but I'm saying in that realm, you know, in that realm. Why are you letting your dog? Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. But yeah.
Let's not just say she, yeah. Woo, Lord.
I didn't say she was there yet, is it?
Yeah. Lord have mercy.
But she sounded beautiful.
Hypercritical.
That song was beautiful, yeah.
Listen, no. She was definitely a talent that needed to be groomed.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would be the first to go ahead and say, yeah, I think she sounds a hell of a lot better than Rihanna. You know, I think, you know, she has.
So you can get you a Meek Mill Drake fight again.
No.
But that was a beautiful song, and she sounded beautiful, though. She did.
Excellent.
Yeah.
I agree.
Wow. 22 years old.
And gone.
Mm-hmm.
And gone.
Just you know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Just like
look.
That.
I mean, it never really looked like she had any form of happiness. It didn't seem, even when she was, huh?
Say that to yourself again. 22 years
what?
Old and gone.
Yeah,
in
that
same manner that her mother did.
Yeah.
You know, that's what people Ooh. Really need to be going ahead and taking a look at. You know, because those eyes, I'm telling you, it's in the billions. It doesn't happen.
Yeah. 22.
Wow.
With all the money, all the power, all the prestige, all of the potential, and it's just struck down 22.
And I want to shout out number one to their family also, because I think the one thing that they did during all the time that she was sick is they didn't allow the media to dictate what her story was going to be. They dictated what the story was. Look, we're not going to talk about that. We don't have anything to add or contribute to this discussion. And you know what? We just don't have anything for y'all at this time. But, hey, out of respect, leave us alone and continue to pray for us.
Right. Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's about time to do another break, you guys. I love Whitney. I want to hear another Whitney joint. Did I do I Always Love You Yet? That's like, did I do that one yet? I love that song.
I Will Always Love You and Greatest Love of All. Oh, God.
Greatest Love. Oh, man. You know what? I'm going to do Saving All My Love. I'm going to do an 80s joint.
Cool.
I'm going to do that one. So.
Cool.
Yeah, man. We got it. We got to hit it. So we'll be right back, America. Let's do it. Mm-hmm.
All right.
'cause tonight is the night for feeling alright. We'll be making love the whole night through. So I'm saving all my love. Yes, I'm saving all my love. Yes, I'm saving all my love for you.
You're getting stoned to Setting the Tone Radio.
All right. Yes, yes. Legacy. Leaving a legacy. That we got an icon there, a pop icon. Whitney Houston. And we have myself, Dictator. We have Big Izzy, and we have Storm, talking about Whitney Houston's life and paying homage, as well as giving our condolences to the families for Bobby Christina, who passed away this weekend.
Lord, how much. So sad. So sad. Makes you rest in peace.
Yeah. It's really just too short.
Baby,
too soon.
Man, just be large.
It makes you hold on to your own babies and say, you know, just be careful out there.
Yeah.
We don't know what happened to Bobby Christina.
It's so ironic because
mm-hmm.
my daughter, it was her 22nd birthday when on the 26th of July when Bobby Christina passed. We were in Savannah, and she was turning 22, and Bobby Christina was leaving this earth at 22.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of shake me up a little bit. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy.
Really.
And the way she, you know, the way she passed away is just, well, the way she was found, you know, because she passed away, they said she passed away peacefully in Duluth, Georgia. She had a nursing home, or a hospice, excuse me, and the family was there. They did all they can do. They even flew her to Chicago and to different specialists to try to do what they could, but they tried their hardest, and they said there was nothing else that could be done, so they just came to grips with it, and that's just got to be one of the hardest things ever to have to deal with, to see someone that you love lay to rest, and there's nothing you can do about it. It makes you feel powerless.
Yeah, it does. I wonder if, well, I know that, you know, you have to have the will to want to sometime get better, and I know that she's said out of her mouth that one of her biggest fears, this is Bobby Christina, was passing away like her mother. So I wonder, you know, if once you've gone through it again, you know, we really didn't see any major positive things going on in her life. I wonder, did she even have the will to want to come out of that coma? You know, that's something that you really have to think about, because, you know, it's like, what am I going back to? You know, am I going back to the life that I've been living?
Yeah.
You know, so what would give her that drive that she would have needed to fill her brain?
That's sad.
I said 110 million.
Well, yeah, for you, money is a factor, but for Bobby Christina, she's grown up her entire life under the spotlight and with money, so that's not a factor for her. The happiness is going to be more of a factor. So I definitely understand.
Wow, I never even looked at it.
You know, it's the funniest thing, and I find it so bizarre that all the people who have got all the money in the world are someone happy, and the folks who are broke.
Yes.
Everything. I don't get money, and then all of a sudden, I can't take it. Listen, I think it's part of a mental health issue. I wonder what are those circumstances, because I do not understand.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about fighting through traffic, even doing your own laundry, cooking your own food. You don't have to worry about how the bills are going to get paid. You don't have to worry about, you know, a lot of things. You can wake up and just live your life, and you out there crazy as cat shit.
Well, you know what? I don't know. It's just so hard for us to. It's too hard to speculate because they're human beings, and broke people have mental illness issues as well. You know, we did a show on that a while back where we were talking about mental illness, and you know, look at our show last week where we were talking about Sandra Bland and her supposed suicide. We don't know her mental state. She had mentioned she had depression issues and things like that. So we just don't know. No matter what, money can't cure health. The only one that could do that is God.
You know, some people would because I know several people that, like you said, Izzy, for one, a lot of people that are rich. Even Russell Simmons said he knows, you know, the people that he knows with money, he can count on one hand those that are happy. So a lot of people, their happiness is love. Ooh, if I can come home and my man or my woman there, I got food cooked, that gives me those endorphins.
Get another one. I don't understand how you have the resources. I mean, listen, now love, don't get me wrong, I think that murkies the waters, especially when you're talking about money, because you don't know who's real or who's fake, and then, you know... issues, you know, tend to be compounded by that. That part I get. But damn it, if you can't find somebody with some act right with $100 million, Lord knows I can get you replaced in the blink of an eye.
How about that? But, you know, I look at women that...
a regular job, so goddamn, if I was $100 million up...
Well, look, what about the women that just to say, or man, I'm not down to women, but just to say I got a man, you can move into my house, drive my car. I don't know who I'm at work, but I love that man.
Which makes me wonder about, I hate to say it, about Whitney. Of all the men that you can have, of all the eligible bachelors that you could have, this is what you settle for, sister? Like, I have young sisters, so I got to, you know, go ahead and just ask them, just as a big brother. With all the things and all the potential that you could have, why do you settle for some of these guys that people just scratch their heads and like, nope, I didn't see that one coming?
I think there's got to be something about self-esteem,
self-worth, because I'm thinking, if you settle for this guy, he must accept you for how fucked up you really must be.
Izzy, the thing is, people said the same thing about Bobby and Whitney. You know, Whitney, they're like, oh, what do you see in this guy? And she actually did an interview with Oprah in 2009, and she says, Oprah asked her about that, and she was very candid. She said, Bobby Brown was doing my prerogative, and we all was damned to that. And he came down on stage, and he's kind of like, yo, what would you say if I asked you out? And she said, yeah. But she said that he's actually a really shy person in real life, and that this is just a stage presence, and that he actually is a take control and a man's man in the house. You know, he takes care of home in his household and things like that. So we can't really judge books by covers, and we can't say...
Because a lot of people we know like the bad boy image. You know, if you got the bad boy image, I feel like a lot of women, we feel power. That's the power thing. So I know you got my back, front, and both sides. Bottom line, and apparently that's... And then, you know, he's charismatic. He dances. He smiles. As many children as he got, he must be doing something for a woman.
Let's listen to a clip from Oprah, from Oprah's interview, from Whitney's interview on Oprah, because you're about to go there. You got two brothers on the line. We're going to listen to her on Oprah in 2009. Wow. Let's see what we got here. Let me pull something up.
how could you not know that that was to be treasured?
I knew in the days when I was a teenager singing for God, I was so sure of. When I became Whitney Houston and all this other stuff happened, my life became the world's. My privacy, my business, who I was with, who I married, who I, you know. And I was like, that's not fair.
Get that.
I wanted to go to the park. I wanted to walk down the street with my husband hand in hand without somebody looking at us and going, oh, you know. Like, or having the media always in my business. Or saying what we are and we weren't. Saying what we were doing and we weren't. Or subjecting my daughter to the scrutiny that she was just born into. She wasn't, didn't ask for that. So I just wanted to be normal. I wanted to have fun. I wanted to be, I had no normal 20s. I had no normal 30s. My life was filled with making records and doing tours and traveling the world and going every place. And
that's so interesting that you would say that, because for years I have thought that in many ways the Whitney Houston that we have seen has been a creation of the media. That obviously your voice and your talent is what it is, but the gowns, the hair, that first video, all of that stuff was a creation. You were really somebody else.
I like to wear jeans and t-shirts and sneakers.
Yeah.
On any normal given day, that's me. You know what I'm saying? I love to get dressed up and I love to do makeup and hair and stuff. But that was my performance. That was my entertainment. I remember.
And so then when you're expected to be that all the time?
Yeah, it was too much. It was just too much. Too much to try to live up to try to be, you know? And I wanted out at some point.
Wanted out.
I did.
Was marrying Bobby a way to be out?
In a sense. Because he allowed me to be me. He was fun, passionate, loving. We were crazy love.
You know, I interviewed him on my show.
Yeah, I know.
And I only spent 1 hour with Bobby Brown. And in the 1 hour with Bobby Brown, I could see I could see that thing,
that energy
and how alluring that could be.
We were,
depending on where you were in your life.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was crazy love.
Crazy love. Crazy, passionate, just exciting. Just, we could look at each other and just sweat, start going sweating, you know what I'm saying? it was mad. It was crazy.
All right, enough of the girl talk.
I like it.
Oh man. That was Whitney, of course.
He allowed me to be me. I wanted to turn up. I wanted to go out and party.
That's right.
Listen, now it's over. Y'all done turned up and turned up that goddamn bank account.
Yeah.
Wow. Leave left the ass niggas alone.
Well, you know what? We got to wrap it up. And here it is, 8 o'clock. So we're going to take another last break, but then we're going to get to our final tones. Now, I don't even know if I played this yet, but I'm going to have to play it anyway. You know, I love the song that was off the Bodyguard soundtrack from 1992. I'll Always Love You. It's an awesome song. So we got to hear it. And if I play it, I'm sorry, we're going to play it again. I may play it another time just on the way out. I don't know. All right, so America, we'll be right back. This is the Dictator, Tone in the House, along with Storm, Big Izzy, Setting the Tone Radio. Stay tuned for our final tone. All right.
Should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, but I know I'll think of you every step of the way. And I will always bittersweet memories. That is all I'm taking with me. So goodbye. Please don't cry. We both know I'm not what you need.
You're getting stoned to Setting the Tone Radio.
All right. We are back. We are back. We are back. Got myself the Dictator here along with Storm and Big Izzy. For those of you listening, of course, you know we've been talking about Whitney Houston and Bobby Christina Brown and, you know, the tragedies there. Rest in peace. Condolences to both families, the Houstons and the Browns. I hope you guys work that stuff out. Please subscribe to us. We are on iTunes. Search for Setting the Tone Radio. We are on TuneIn. Search for Setting the Tone Radio. We are on Stitcher Radio. Search for Setting the Tone Radio. Google us. Do whatever you got to do. Subscribe to us. Tell your friends about us. We appreciate you. We've been on for almost 2 years now. Over 25,000 podcast listeners chiming in. We really appreciate you. So we're going to go ahead and get to our final tones. We are wrapping it up, of course. Big Izzy, what's your final tone? Well, Big Izzy is having technical difficulties. We're going to just move it on over. Let's do it over to Storm. Storm, what's your final tone? Oh, Lord. Were we having some technical issues? There
you
go.
Can you hear me?
There
you
go.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, Izzy.
So I'm just rapping on my final tone. Ladies, I got little sisters, so I've heard, you know, hey, if you don't understand what it's like to fall in love, sometimes you love who you love and you can't help it. You can't help it. everything that you do, you know, how you conduct and, you know, choose to conduct and govern your life starts with choice. Pick a man who wants to love you and protect you, and sometimes even from yourself. Don't listen. Don't believe that foolishness talking about a man just supposed to give you everything you want and let you do everything you want to do, because sometimes the choices that you make for yourself or that person can make for you can be fatal. All right? Love, peace, and hair grease. Mm. That's my final time.
Awesome.
All right.
Storm.
All right. Yeah. All right. Well, my final thought is, again, rest in peace, condolences to both families. But my final tone is going to be regarding the families and having your affairs in order. I remember when my mom passed, once she found out that she had cancer, she set her estate into action. First thing, don't come to my funeral acting no damn fool. Period. She already told us this is where my will is. This is how much money is allotted to all of my children. This is what I want done. We took care of her to the day she left, and that's how the funeral was conducted. Get your affairs in order, and if you are the matriarch or the patriarch of that family, make sure you let folks know. Don't come here with that. If we need to have a family sit down, we'll do it and work it out then. Have your emotions, but keep them in check to the point that the world does not have, my legacy is not ruined because of ignorance. That's my final tone.
All right. I love it. I love it. You guys always have such good final tones. I'm like, oh man, they use that one. I got to think of another one. I was going to say that for real. I'm going to start saying mine first. So you guys are stuck.
That'll work. Well, we can handle that.
Well, again, just like you said, condolences to both sides of the family. And, you know, I hate to hear the tragedy. I do believe that your affairs should be in order. Black people, Hispanics, everybody, get some life insurance. It's like $20-something dollars a month. Get life insurance. Mm-hmm. Get your affairs in order. You know, do, as Storm said, it's important. You never know what's going to happen. I'm sure earlier this year, they didn't know that Bobby Christina Brown was going to be laid to rest. It just like they didn't know that Whitney was on her way to a Grammy pre-show or a party, and you know, she was found. You know, it's just we need to put the things in place so that we have our stuff together, and you know, you're not leaving your family scrambling. At the same time, when I think of Whitney, I can't help but to think about some of the choices she's made in terms of drug usage and things like that. We have to think about our choices. We have to think about what's going to affect us in the long run. You know, we reap what we sow, and we don't want to do anything that's going to jeopardize what we could be. We don't want to be cut short. And while I believe that Bobby Christina is in a better place with her mom and they've joined each other, I think that maybe they had extra work to do here, and that was cut short based off of decisions or what have you. So with that being said, let's just make sure that we always think about what we're doing, be cognizant of how we're doing it, and just keeping things in check and in order.
And that's the final tone.
You're getting stoned to Setting the Tone Radio.
Look, I get it in, I'm a home man. All the ladies see flying, they don't really wanna leave them alone. I never follow the crowd, I'm setting my own trends. Baby girl, I'm setting the tone. I'm a trendsetter, 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 trendsetter. I'm a trendsetter.